through. And maybe it's because it's a resolution and not a bill. But the reason that Paul and McConnell joined on to this is because, say, for example, this was specifically about the Canadian tariffs. In Kentucky, the bourbon industry is $9 billion, and Kentucky creates 95% of the world's bourbon. And Canada is a major trading partner there, and you see how, like, they are banning U.S. alcohol in different stores, and there's, like, this renewed sense of Canadian nationalism that is benefiting the liberals for some, which is incredible. You know, not for some reason, it's obvious why, but you don't usually see it on that side. And so that's what we are bending the world's global trade markets because of the narcissism of a very addled, insane sociopath.
What we're doing is what on Twitch they call a rage quit.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah. Rage quitting the world.
Our boy Steve Mnuchin on. You know, remember yesteryear when we had a Patriots in charge like Steve Mnuchin?
I mean, I remember talking about this guy. This was the robo signing, subprime mortgage scammer that Kamala Harris got let off as Attorney General with kind of a very lax fine. This was also the time period, but like this was considered a very corrupt looking pick because of the level of the malfeasance that he participated in during the subprime mortgage crisis, and now he's the reasonable one apparently.
Former Treasury Secretary, here he is.
I think it's the larger tariffs that are called the reciprocal tariffs. I'm hopeful that those will be negotiated down, that those are tariffs that will bring people to the table and we'll negotiate them down. Now, for many businesses, it takes a while to move the manufacturing base. Apple's announced big investments in the U.S. That's going to take a while. I hope the president will consider giving people credits for those people who actually have made real commitments, not just announcements, but real commitments to build in the U.S., because there's a transition period here that needs to be adjusted to.
Yeah. Putting that very diplomatically, to be kind.
I remember when Steve Jobs had a meeting with Barack Obama over a decade ago, where he famously told, I think this came out in the Walter Isaacson biography, Jobs told Barack Obama, those jobs, manufacturing jobs, he means, are never coming back. And Obama's like, oh, I guess you're right. Steve Jobs, what are you going to do? And the truth is, they're not coming back this way. With his tariffs. This is not the way to do it. The way to do it, again, like I keep saying, is state involvement in the economy to direct us toward priorities that need to be done. Look at what China's done in just high-speed rail since 2008. That isn't done by just the magic of the invisible hand of the free markets. China decided we need to be good in trains. We need to be good in batteries for this next century. Consciously, as a government, they decided we have abandoned that capacity. We turned over NASA to a psychotic Afrikaner. Exactly. We just keep doing it. And this abundance thing is still looking towards these capitalists that have fucked us. That nobody on this call right now has experienced a dynamically growing capitalism that improves the lives generation over generation. Even our parents barely, to the extent that they were like graduating in the 70s, didn't really experience it much either. They failed. It's a failure, and it is not because of fucking regulations. It's because of how these people, these lords of creation, lords of capital, have decided to allot and invest. And when it comes to like something like Detroit, we let them decide, hey, those unions have too much power. We need to start shipping factories to states that are easier to union bust in. That made it a less productive industry, and now it's fucked. And so, like, look, I don't agree with Sean Fain's thing about the tariffs, but he's right. That we have let these capitalists just decide all these policies for too long, and it's put us in this horrible, horrible position. We're on the precipice of it now, and it's going to be worse. Like I say, we haven't experienced the benefits of dynamic capitalism because it hasn't existed for decades and decades. We're going to experience something worse now.
Yeah, and frankly, the Biden administration didn't do enough. We did increase domestic manufacturing jobs under Biden. That was a bright spot of his administration, in part because we lost so many during COVID under Trump, but there was still a decrease prior to that point.
And the solution we took was to encourage investors,
right,
not to directly invest.
Because chips did. It can create like outcomes like what we're describing. But what Matt is saying is that it's fleeting, right? Because you can get another administration in and those corporations still get the subsidies and they may have hired some folks, but you, without centralized state policy that doesn't place our economy so much in the hands of folks that are trying to extract everything for their own profit,
yep,
you can't sustain, yep, this. You can't sustain it. There needs to be a return to a strong centralized planning for our society, for our economy, and more state intervention.
And it's weird that we have this conversation and don't look at the actual model that's working. We try to look back to some sort of theoretical capitalism that can sort it out. The reason that we're not solving climate change is because we're leaving it to investors who care, like Emma said, about profit. And if all of a sudden, say, solar panels start being really cheap and making energy cheap, guess what? There's no profit,
yeah,
in that industry. And so investors get less concerned with it. It's not that they're not in it to save the fucking world. They're in it to put money in their pockets.
Yep. Straight up. All right, guys.
Just to add too, like the last time Apple committed to moving manufacturing to the US, I believe it was Trump's first term. What they did was they manufactured their most expensive computer, the Mac Pro, which is like the $7,000 like pro, like model for like, you know, movie studios and big like editing, you know, video production companies. So it's not like they moved like their major manufacturing here. They moved like a very slim, probably the slimmest part of its company, of its profit to, right, the US. So it's whatever they're building to move here, it's going to be another thing like that. They're not going to start manufacturing iPhones here, I guarantee you that.
It'll be Foxconn, or you know, right, like another PR we're onshoring these jobs,
right? Well, that's a good, yeah, point, because it's not because they want to bring back the union jobs of like, say, Detroit mid-century.
No.
It's because they want us to be like Foxconn workers, and they are setting the conditions so that future generations don't have a fucking choice.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Brandon.
I'm just agreeing. Yeah, absolutely. This is an all-out assault on the middle class, and it's been a long time coming, in the sense that since FDR, since the widespread social safety net was developed in this country post Great Depression, capitalists have been trying to erode it because it provides workers with too many options. It provides them with too much freedom. It's an anomaly of what their system wants. And the Democrat and Republican Party, you know, at least to some degree, both agree that, you know, workers simply have too much freedom. They have too much freedom and they have too much opportunity. And if the stock market has to take a little bit of a crunch to ensure that like the average American has less options, then I'm sure plenty of companies are willing to take some of that deal, at least in the short term.
Well, honestly, because at the end of the day, what Trump is saying is that this is a way to not raise your taxes. Not that the Republicans would do it, but they're also trying to gut Medicaid, the program that keeps half of the 72 million adults that are on it are well below the poverty line, and it provides them with basic health care. They're in their next budget. That's their outline, is that they basically want to destroy the program. And so when they have to go to the parliamentarian and say, and they may not even do this, but like, this is more traditional Republican thought. Well, how are you going to get the revenue, to justify some of these other things that you're trying to do? They're going to go with Medicaid cuts and then say that these tariffs are raising this amount of revenue because it's a compounding sales tax on the poorest Americans in this country. And if people don't remember the Foxconn thing, Trump had made this big promise in his first term of a, quote, manufacturing miracle, where in Wisconsin there were supposed to be these plans that Foxconn was going to develop a manufacturing facility there, and they ended up never doing so. And then they were going to ship or provide that area with 13,000 new jobs, and he just never did it. But they did take a bunch of investment money for it. So that's his vision of domestic manufacturing. All right, guys, call time. Calling from a 501 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from? 501. 501. Hold on the line for a sec, because we're just going to check to make sure we're all set. We're all right. Let me try another one here, because I see the phones. We're in. Yeah.
I just want to make sure the
options are. Okay. All right. Hold on. Sorry about that, 501. If calling from a 778 area code, who's this? Where are you calling from? 778.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. All right. All right, Matt's gonna try something here. Kowalski says you hear 501. Okay, we're figuring it out. Matt's calling back into the phones. Hold on for a second. Having some technical issues today. Okay. Didn't hear it, no. All right, I'm going to read some IMs while we do this. Guys, I'm sorry about this. Can you not, because we're back in the phones, but we can't hear anybody.
Yeah, I could try to do an impression of the caller. What's 501? Where are they from? Let's see.
All right, we're having issues with the computer. I'm sorry. We'll try again one more time, but callers, call back in if you get the chance. We'll see if we can fix it. In the meantime, I'm going to read some IMs.
Arkansas. I don't know if I could do that.
That might be hard. Tojin Shiboya says, oh, great. We are about to see so many Kentucky alcohol ads.
No, all that surplus is going to be going to the Pentagon to feed Hezek's habit.
Right. Bob in Spain, don't trust Emma. She lies. She'll read IMs, but this is proof that she's lying. Well, I don't know about that. Owned. Serious business. Australians lost the war to emu, and the U.S. is going to lose a trade war to penguins. Tim Pool's emotional support beanie. Binder, you give them too much credit. They'll either never learn or it will be painfully slow.
No, that's, yeah, that's, I mean, yes, that's, yeah. I'm not giving them too much credit. That's how it is. That's how it goes. I mean, you got to assume that, again, we're not talking about like the hardcore MAGA people. I'm talking about like the people who show up every 4 years to vote in a presidential election. And they were swayed by Trump being some, you know, a businessman savior who's going to end whatever nonsense Biden is.
Right.
Well, there's a few of those people who will certainly turn.
I think learn is different from notice. I think a lot of people kind of insinuate that like MAGA fans won't notice, like they won't notice that the cost of goods is going up. What they like glean from that, what they attribute to that will be a result of like what narratives are just free floating out there. But like certainly everyone's going to notice.
Right. Right. You've already seen it, actually. They excuse it like before it was like, why isn't Biden doing anything about this price of eggs? And then the egg prices go up under Trump. And it's like, listen, you got to understand, if you love this country, you'll pay a little bit more money for eggs.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Fair Liari, these securities backed loans are pretty crazy. I work in finance and see how they will work, and it's wild. Not many people know how they work or even about them. A client can get 2-3% in interest, and you can even buy more securities with them. Okay, good to know. We're still working on the phones, guys. Hold on for just a second, all right? Edward Gregorian, everything's computer. Yes. Jester from Jersey, bit shocked to hear Fain supports the tariffs. He has been rallying against the rich. Why support what will so obviously trigger a recession and harm the working class? To be fair for him, to him, that quote was before these like really broad tariffs. And again, he does have working class solidarity, but also has to weigh and be like supportive of things that perhaps the rank and file in the auto industry are supportive of, because yeah, it is like their experience of having their jobs outsourced is not unique, but it's essentially, it's very acute.
It's fundamental to American political economy. And I mean, tariffs, again, nothing he said was wrong. It's the sort of proximity to Trump imploding the economy that's a problem. The tariffs are a tool in the toolbox. Anybody who tells you otherwise is operating from an old set of economic ideas. The problem is, like, it's not nearly enough, and the way this is being done, it's not going to. I don't think it's going to save the UAW. I am worried about it having the opposite effect.
Right. All right, let's try one more call, and if we can't get this on the line, I think our phones are broken for the day. Calling from a 219 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
It's me.
This is you. Hi, how are you?
Oh my gosh.
You got in.
Hi, you guys. I did. My phone is really hot, first up, so if we get this go, that's probably why.
Okay, cool.
Hi, everybody.
Who's this?
Hello.
I am Cassie. From Indiana.
Cassie from Indiana, what's on your mind?
Oh my goodness. Well, my major question today is there any salience in Democratic governors banding together and quote unquote starving the beast by not paying federal taxes, making like executive orders, all employers don't pay Fed taxes anymore. And then I got that idea from the Romano report. And then I've just taken it a little further, like upping state tax withholding to help with education and infrastructure. I want you all to take it further, if it's worth taking any further. And I will take it off the line. Left is best. I love you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. What a great...
Welcome, Russ.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much for the call. Thank I mean,
you. No, that's a great question. It's one I've
great
actually...
Question. Yeah.
Thought about myself, and I haven't looked into it, so I don't have an answer for you, but it is an absolute great question. I don't know if any of you have any idea.
I really don't know. I think that there's a possibility that the states could come together, and states' attorneys general, that would be probably the first move, is to sue the federal government as a block of blue states attorneys general. But the withholding of taxes is something that's interesting. I don't necessarily, I don't know how that would work. So I can't wax about it without really knowing more, but I'm going to read about it.
I mean, what taxes? Like it's between the IRS and the people in the states, it would be employers talking directly to the IRS,
right? And then
say don't do that.
And also then I start to think about it, the payroll tax, we do not want to set the precedent of not paying the payroll tax, which is the foundational funding mechanism and the self-funding mechanism for both Social Security and Medicare. And if we are not to pay into that, it gives Republicans another opportunity to slash the program altogether. We need to continue to pay into Social Security and not touch the payroll tax except to lift the cap on taxable income over 117K.
Yeah, I just don't think a tax revolt will get us to where we want. We need other types of organizing. And, I mean, state-level sort of boycotts, like the boycott against North Carolina when they started doing the anti-trans stuff in 2017 is very interesting to me. Stuff like that. But withholding taxes, I just don't see that.
Your pillow says it would be withholding the federal income tax, not the payroll tax. They are separate items. I wasn't clear on that. But that is more of something I would entertain. Still need to see a little bit more details.
But again, like, don't you? Maybe I'm wrong about this. Don't you work directly with the IRS when you're paying those? Like, the state can't. Does the state get involved and say, actually, that money you were sending, reporting to the IRS and sending to the IRS?
Right.
I don't get that.
Because, you file your state and your federal taxes separately. I don't know. Spocko says, I really liked Rowan Gray's yesterday talking about Doge's takeover of the federal payment system. People are talking about Musk leaving, but what will the Doge boys leave with him? Can we... ask how many Americans need to die before they stop rewriting the computer systems after all the crashes and deaths. Who will repair the systems? I mean, that's the question.
How many older folks in poverty need to be completely thrown into an emergency because Elon decided he needed to change some code around?
Wasn't Lutnick the guy who was on a video not too long ago in an interview saying you know, I was talking to my mother, and she said, we were talking about it. And if she missed a month of Social Security, she's not going to worry. Why are you going to go crazy over that? You wait for the next month. They'll fix it.
Yeah.
These guys are so detached from reality.
Right. Well, on that point, since Howard Lutnick came up, here he is, I guess, today on CNN. This is 16. Being asked, pressed again about the tariffs, and speaking about what they're targeting, and once again displaying just like a complete lack of practical knowledge and understanding of how this stuff really plays out.
In a few days, we're about to see prices go up at the grocery store. What do you say to those Americans?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Watch.
No one can guarantee anything, but that's very nice. Thank you. I wish I could guarantee whatever you'd like. But the fact is, let's take one moment. Wait. You asked me a question. Okay. Let's go through it, okay? Our farmers are blocked from selling almost anywhere. We can't, 1.4 billion people in India, and we can't sell them corn. Europe won't let us sell beef. Australia won't let us sell beef. Why?
Hormonal chemicals.
Yeah, no, that's not why. It's because they want to just
wait.
I know.
Wait.
Say, oh.
I thought you guys were Maha. I thought you were Maha. I thought you were trying to make America healthy again. Wasn't it all about the fact that we have chemicals in our food? And this is actually the truth. This is actually the truth. And when you compare it to European food, when they say like, "Oh, it's their portion sizes." I mean, that's part of it. Or, you feel better about their food, or they walk a lot. No, it's because they have better regulations, you dumbasses.
Yeah. No, I mean, this was part of like one of the evolving excuses Trump administration was floating for, like, you know, they're not all tariffs based on trade deficits. Sometimes it's about barriers to Americans trading our goods overseas. Like in Canada, we're talking about how like there are language requirements in Quebec. So you can't just have things in only English. They have to be in French as well. So like they've just been making up any excuse they can find that makes it seem like it's some like targeted way of getting people to be fairer and not just like a slapdash excuse for more to demand more fealty from people around the world.
They're complaining that also I saw Trump when he was saying like in Denmark and Sweden and Finland they have great education systems. We want to do that by gutting the Department of Education and slashing taxes that would go towards our education system. It's like, no, it's the opposite, you dumbass. It's the same thing with our meat.
And it's also not like America accepts every good from every country, that we have no standards for anything that we import. I mean, at least that's partially excused for why we can't have a lot of Chinese imported electric cars in America, because they don't meet American safety regulations. So, you know, it goes both ways, obviously.
Yeah.
Farmers are blocked from selling almost anywhere. We can't, 1.4 billion people in India, and we can't sell them corn. Europe won't let us sell beef. Australia won't let us sell beef. Why?
Hormonal chemicals.
Yeah, no, that's not why. It's because they want to just protect. I know. They want to say, oh, what, the seeds are different, right? Other people in the world are using seeds that insects. Come on, this is nonsense. This is all nonsense. What happens is they block our markets. When we open those markets, our volumes grow. Our farmers will thrive, and the price of groceries will come down. Let Donald Trump run the global economy. He knows what he's doing. He's been talking about it for 35 years. You got to trust Donald Trump in the White
House. And a few days.
Need that as a drop. Let Donald Trump run the global economy. The guy that's been bankrupt like just a handful of times, which is already too much.
The guy who built Trump Tower with undocumented labor.
Right. The guy who notoriously stiffs contractors. Sorry, Brandon, go ahead.
No, I guess I was just a little bit confused about his logic, but I guess I put it together. I mean, it does seem like another like ad hoc, post hoc, I mean, explanation for why this is all happening. Like, oh, it's not because, like, it's because India doesn't take our corn or something like that. So we'll see. I mean, the tariffs hurt farmers last time pretty bad, to the point where the Trump administration had to bail many of them out. But I guess we'll see if they experience any kind of boon to their business when they can't sell what they used to be able to sell abroad either.
It's just a major tell to say, let Donald Trump run the global economy. Let him be king. Let him do what he wants. That's what J.D. Vance was saying when he was in Greenland. We can't just ignore the president's desires. could they just all suck him off so we can get over this? It's so insane to see level of just bending over in public. Sorry to be crass about it, but oh my God, I guess that was the only prerequisite.
I mean, it seems to me like they already are. I mean,
he's the kingmaker.
They're already doing it.
He's the kingmaker in the Republican Party. I guess they just don't, they know they're trying to like take that like very internal to their circumstances criteria and try to like make everyone else follow it. Like, because yeah, with the stroke of a pen or a word, Donald Trump can make any Republican candidate do better or worse in their election. Now he has the ability to make any industry suffer crippling tariffs if he doesn't grant them an exception. But that doesn't necessarily apply as strongly to everyone outside of those dynamics. And some people are going to be able to find like a silver lining in resisting Trump. Like the Liberal Party in Canada, for example, were not doing very well until they came out and people saw what Trump was doing to America. And they felt a swelling of like anti-American, like Canadian nationalism there. And that's going to happen in a lot of places. A lot of places are going to see how far the right America's going. They're going to see Donald Trump, find him unique, distasteful, and be willing to accept a little bit, paying a little bit more at the grocery store. And I mean, people outside of America will, if it means like stiffing the big bully America. Like there is just, I think, a little bit of a failure to realize that America's like, you know, international supremacy was the result of the very same structures they're destabilizing and abolishing now. And not because people just love America all the time. Some places, yeah, but like not some of these places, you know, a lot of political figures are going to be able to make their bones by like, 100%. You know, being the one who like stood up to Donald Trump. Yeah, you paid a little bit more for Kentucky bourbon, but we, you know, we slayed the dragon of Donald Trump in France. You know, we did that. Like, that's going to be a way for people to like stay in office.
He's absolutely overestimating the ability of the Americans to have soft power without like the actual mechanisms of soft power that kept that in place. We're not just like the global superpower because people like Hollywood films. This is because of the structures that exist after the World War II, which includes NATO, which includes these institutions like the United Nations that have very prominent Western and United States influence. But it's really about the trade routes that we have forged in response to that, and also in conjunction with being the largest military in the world. Now all we have is none of the soft power of our militarism with USAID and like. Sometimes it's hard power, sometimes it helps in coups, but sometimes it also helps prevent kids in Africa from getting HIV and feed this starving country. They're getting rid of that, and then they're helping Israel commit genocide. And then when it comes to even our economic power that we use and leverage, and the fact that we're so dominant in that way, they're getting rid of that too. What is left for people to respond to outside of, like, maybe we'll bomb you? Like, why would other countries continue to have relationships like with us, the traditional ones in the past, when none of the benefits of that traditional relationship exist, except for the threat of, I don't know, Donald Trump retaliating against them? And these tariffs, I think domestically, he doesn't care what happens to the American people. But what I do think he wants is for some of these industries to come to him and bribe him, those news outlets did with his frivolous lawsuits. Can get a carve out if you give me something.
Yeah, it's for that bribery. And I'm sure he also imagines that a lot of the like more developing nations are not going to be able to take the increased like cost of selling in America, even if it is on our side, because it will reduce the amount of business that they do there. So like he's hoping that those countries, the ones who can be bullied by this, will be forced to come to the table and provide, you know, do whatever he wants, essentially. Who knows what that's going to be for a place like Madagascar, but I'm sure he will find some way for them to stroke his ego. But places that can resist and might need to resist for domestic political issues, they might find that, you know, it's a way out to get a more stable economy that's not tethered to the United States of America, where these things just seem to happen every 4 years now. Like there's just plenty of incentives for people to get out of that dynamic, and he's not providing any sort of like actual benefit to them other than like making things go back to the status quo, which apparently just facilitated this. So like he doesn't understand just how much America relies on these structures existing to keep goods cheap and people happy here. You know, he may not care about that because he's not running for re-election again, but the rest of the Republicans are going to have to go to those town halls and struggle to explain why not only are goods more expensive, but their social security checks are late, why their Medicare has been canceled. All of these things that like are going to disproportionately affect poor people are going to be disproportionately also felt by like Republicans in certain places.
Absolutely. Let's do 13 and then we'll, I'm just seeing the time. I'm sorry. Then we'll maybe take a call and read some IMs and get out of here. I feel like some of these longer ones we just don't have time for, right? Okay. So here is a Senator Jim Banks of Indiana. He is talking to somebody who worked at HHS. They were fired. There are quotas that Donald Trump is giving to the people that head the agencies in his administration, and HHS is obviously headed by RFK Jr., the anti-vax conspiracy theorists. And they've basically said that we want 10,000 firings at Health and Human Services. They're already going after folks that have been researching in vitro fertilization that broke yesterday at the CDC. They have been firing researchers into things like Alzheimer's and cancer and Parkinson's disease, stuff that is really, really important to saving lives and improving people's quality of life, and also maintains the United States as like a place where, hey, we can't give healthcare to our citizens, but if you're a researcher, we have some top academic institutions where you can learn and like be at the cutting edge of certain technologies. I mean, this is just saying, hey, China, go ahead. Lap us here. But it's also just having a really horrific effect for the workers that have been in these agencies. And this is how Senator Jim Banks reacted to an HHS employee said, talking about what they experienced.
Some of those already fired HHS employees gathered today in the Senate basement out in D.C., where they spotted Senator Jim Banks. One man asking Banks about his firing. Take a listen.
Hi, I was a worker at HHS. I was fired illegally on February 14th. There are many people who are not getting social service programs, especially people with disabilities. Are you going to do anything to stop what's happening?
You probably deserved it.
I deserved it?
You probably deserved it.
I deserved it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Why did I deserve it?
Because you seem like a clown.
Well, to note, the courts have not made a ruling on the employee firing, so as of now, they're not illegal. But that question and video was taken by former HHS employee Max Schroeder, who says he was actually the senator's answer was a little off-putting. We're going to be speaking with him tonight on News 8 at 10 and 11. We also got a response to the video from Senator Banks saying, quote, I went to Washington to decrease the size and scope of the federal government. No one is entitled to a taxpayer-funded job, especially in positions that waste those funds. I fully support President Trump and the Department of Government Efficiency's mission to eliminate waste.
Again, more at 10 tonight.
No one is.
Yeah, I would say it's a little off-putting when a representative calls you a clown for asking why you lost your job. A senator, yes. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Even those like senators who think of themselves as really, you know, above the politics, the traditional kind of politics that the House members have to deal with, you know, the plebeians asking them things. Even he can't hide like his contempt for his constituents. It's crazy.
He's a guy who worked in real estate prior to becoming a senator. And he gets all of his ideas from the American Legislative Exchange Council. So he doesn't really do any work. So, maybe he should be fired.
Is he entitled to a government salary? It's it's incredible to see how brazen they are about their disdain for public service. Like their big rub is that these folks are not in private industry, so they can. If there's more and more firings, it makes it more likely that that unemployment is going to go up again, and then they have more leverage against their existing workforce in the private industry.
And sorry to grind this axe again, but the last thing we need is people like Ezra Klein and Derek Thompson to be running around and saying how the government is the problem as this is going on. It could not be worse for the moment right now. We need liberals, frankly, to be talking about what the government actually can do for people. Not how we need to slash it more, just slightly more sensitively than what Trump's doing.
Well, I mean, I think that it's the exact opposite of what he said is true, which is the government, you know, the public sector is the only thing in society that can provide guaranteed jobs. Because the illusion is that you can incentivize private employers to, you know, hire people at levels that will somehow curb unemployment naturally and provide people with like a standard of living that, you know, is sustainable. And we've just seen that's not the case. Like, we can look at the unemployment numbers and we have to add another, what, 10-20% on top of that for people who have given up, for jobs that just underpay to the point where people are still, you know, needing government services, which is just another way for the government to subsidize places like Walmart. And even when you incentivize them to, you know, build factories at home, they do it in such a way that benefits them, which is not going to be the most people they could possibly hire and pay them the most they could possibly afford to pay them. That's what the government can do. Only the government can provide those outcomes. Only the government can provide that structure. But this has been, you know, this has been a 50-60 year assault on the very idea of the public sector in the minds of the American people. And what that has led to is just the widespread naked contempt from our politicians, like public contempt for doing their job, for serving the people, the public good, to the people they served directly to their face. It seems like it happens, you know, we see videos like this once a day now of just like politicians just like basically grimacing at the idea of being touched by the unwashed masses. We live in an oligarchy.
Absolutely.
Sean McCarthy tweeted this out. There are many historical examples of tariffs mixed with government planning and industrial policy producing prosperity for the nation that implements them. But what happens when 40 years of government bad propaganda causes you to skip the second step? We're about to find out.
Yep. All right, guys. Final call of the day. Calling from a 603 area code. Is this where you're calling from?
Ooh. Is it me?
This is you.
Hi, this is Allie from New Hampshire.
Allie from New Hampshire, you're the final caller of the day. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm calling with a little bit of a PSA. So I live in a fairly small town in New Hampshire, like I said, and I'm a really big reader, so I go to my library like once a week. And the last time I went there, my little lovely librarian gave me a note in my book that was warning us of funding cuts. And one thing about for like my town, because it's fairly small, I love my library, I love my librarians, but they don't really have anything published after like 2005. So I utilize interlibrary loan pretty heavily. I don't know if every place has it, but it's basically just like all the libraries within the state will trade books with each other. So like if my library doesn't have something, I can get it from a library in a different town for no cost. That's pretty much how I get all my books there. That service, as well as Libby, which is an app for, I believe, audiobooks.
Yeah.
Is also being cut, potentially. Oh. And in, yeah, which really, really sucks. I was really pissed off when my librarian told me that, and she was like so sad about it.
Also, public, hallmark of public space and education, you know, you just see, even here in New York City, like there are still some phenomenal public libraries, but a lot of public space privatized. Throughout the country, this is what they're trying to do. I mean, this needs to real estate for private interests. Duh. Why do people need libraries?
Yeah, no. Who needs to read? That's not important or anything.
Not apparently, they don't think so. Reading comprehension is so far down since freaking COVID. Honestly,
yeah, I mean, like it's just so obvious in my opinion. Just like that, Republicans need people ignorant and stupid and educated to keep their voter base. I mean, like between getting library services, which like. You know, in addition to just books, like, you know, free Wi-Fi, free, like, computers, printing, stuff like just services that people need and, like, just a safe space for people to exist that doesn't cost money. But I also just wanted to point out that last week in New Hampshire, there was also a resolution or an amendment to that was presented to the Finance Committee to basically gut all funding for the New Hampshire State Library. all of them. It failed, thankfully. But I just kind of wanted to share the resource, which is action.everylibrary.org. They were the ones who informed me of this, and they also have really good templates for, like, reaching out to your representatives to push back against this funding for library cutting. Even though that resolution failed, they're now trying to criminalize librarians as well as teachers for providing books to minors. Basically, like, you know, more of the transphobic shit that they're always going on about is kind of what they're pushing for now. But I just wanted to share that information and let everyone know to support their libraries, get a library card if you don't have one, donate books if you can, donate your time.
Yep.
It's important.
Great message. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Left is best.
Left is best. All right, guys. Going to wrap up here, read some IMs, get out of here. Toshin Shibuya says, a great show, guys. Thank you. Emma's distant cousin, if you want to boost Sam's Jubilee, put on a certain tube sites. Bearded Zaddy gets on... All right. I'm not reading. Gets on 20 college-age adults at once. Ha ha ha. DSA aren't in Atlanta. We are in techno-feudalism. Yep, I'm, you know, I mean, that's part of the Curtis Yarvin vision. Clumsy Poet, Emma's New Jersey's coming out. I'm not sure. What did I... Did my accent come out at one point? Sometimes it does. Chunch says, I work for wine and spirits distributor and everyone is quietly panicking over the tariffs. Tequila is the fastest growing in spirit and sales and we have deliberately started a fight with the only country that can legally produce it. Yeah. Although also, one of my best friends works in wine sales and people just are drinking less. People are drinking less. It's that's probably a good thing. But not necessarily great for the industry, so hang in there. I'm sorry about that. Apparently the only stuff that's keeping this kind of thing afloat are like these hard seltzers, honestly. But wine sales, which is my weakness, I love a good glass of wine. Those are down.
I never drink, and all of our alcohol in the studio here is collecting dust, basically.
We never
drink. We used to drink a lot more back in the day.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, Sam likes likes whiskey, right? You like whiskey, but when you do drink, I only drink basically wine, or I'll have a tequila or gin mixed drink. That's the only stuff I drink at this point. But yeah, I'm doing my wedding diet, so I can't even have my weekly wine night. I allot one night for my for having an alcoholic beverage or two, and I'm trying to even cut that down. So, okay. Dave from Jamaica, seeing stuff like this makes me think about Luigi's Mansion.
Great Wii game. I wasn't very impressed with the Wii, but that was a fun game.
Oh, I thought this was a Luigi Mangione, and I didn't know.
It was. I was drawing people's attention away from that.
Gotcha.
Allusion to the killer.
Oh. Sorry. Oh, but by the way, how does Trump think, like, this looks? The death penalty that they're seeking for Luigi? I guess he doesn't care. He doesn't seem to care.
Oh, he doesn't
anything.
Care at all. I think the people he surrounds himself with probably absolutely agree with it and hate Luigi and think Luigi is the biggest threat in the world. It was like 9/11 for rich executives and wealthy people. Like, that's their worst nightmare. Someone just randomly, who they've never interacted with before, coming up behind them and doing what Luigi did or allegedly did.
Assassination coordinates.
But it affected Musk, obviously. You can imagine how it feels for all these other guys. They probably support it 100%. So Trump probably thinks the rest of the world is against him too, because he's heard it from his own people.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, it's no accident that it's happening at this time, that you know, that shooting, that assassination by someone, who knows who it was. I can't say. Certainly, I don't believe anyone in custody resembles who I saw in that video, but that's just me. Like, there's no accident that's happening around the same time that, like, the oligarchy that controls America, the special interest money that has flooded our politics and has, you know, become so standard in basically every race, has become a lot more public. It's become a lot more obvious, and it has had a easy to appreciate impact on the material realities of basically every aspect of all but the richest Americans' lives. And they're trying to disincentivize this from happening all over the place, because it's not just leftists. It's not like organized leftists that they have to be afraid of doing stuff like this. It's the average American becoming so desperate and so upset and so radicalized by their material conditions, and the face of those material conditions being people like Elon Musk gleefully smiling, wearing like tech support shirts under a blazer, you know, as they immiserate you further. Like, it's those people that have to work, the people at the town halls that they're pretending are George Soros voters. Like, it's, you know, it's a very dangerous time to be uber wealthy in America. But it's always been a very dangerous time to be uber poor in America. So I guess that's just the way things are now.
Yeah. Also, for Trump specifically, he's been thinking about this, the whole assassination thing, a lot more lately. I mean, obviously there was an attempt on him, but also all of a sudden over the past few weeks, he's bringing up like how much he misses his good friend Shinzo Abe. I mean, it just randomly bringing it up. Have you seen these clips of
no.
him?
No.
Yes, he's just randomly
I think
bringing
that's
up-
why he sympathizes with McKinley too. This is why, I mean, McKinley was assassinated. That's part of his bugaboo he has. Yeah.
He's just bringing it up out of the blue. He brought up Japan the other day because of the tariffs, I think, and he was like, "Oh, my good friend Shinzo Abe, how I miss him so."
He's so like melancholic, but you know, can't empathize with anybody when they're next to him in real time. So weird.
I have some fun if you want to. Do one of our favorite things to do, which is to watch Tesla fail.
Yes,
a Cybertruck fail. This is a guy. Jay Presto looks like from Rhode Island. He's a Tesla fan, but he's a little bit dismayed about the self-driving parking issue here, and you can just see why.
Oh!
Crunch right into the Corolla. He writes, Cybertruck FSD crashes into coworker's car. Not a good look. I was showing a friend how awesome FSD was, full self-driving. We drove up the street and back, and this is how it pulled into a parking spot.
Oh, my God.
I've logged thousands and thousands of FSD miles. This has never happened.
this is how these are all being like vandalized. This is like the vandalism they're trying to pretend is happening.
After watching this video, Pam Bondi charged the coworker with terrorism.
3,000 that
the
Corolla.
Away.
That is that Corolla Hamas. But 3,000 damage to the Corolla. How can we be close to unsupervised? The answer is we are not. That's a lie for marketing to sell giant $100,000 rigs of metal to people like you, Jay.
Yeah. He also probably thinks they're going to be on Mars anytime soon.
Also, if you're sitting in your car and it's about to do this, you can't just afterwards be like, oh, I can't believe my car just did this. You should have done something before it happened. Like, you can clearly see it wasn't making the turn. Like, these guys who drive these Teslas really think that, like, because it's a self-driving or whatever type vehicle it is, they have no, like, responsibility and are hands off.
Yeah. It's, it tracks, though, if you're still into Tesla. All right, five more.
Legalize comedy.
Legalize it. Legalize killing people with my cars on the road, testing them out.
I know I go back to this every 20 seconds, but we have the abundance guys going around there saying government regulation is too lax, and we have supposedly self-driving technology crashing giant rigs of metal into other people's cars. That shouldn't be legal.
It is incredible that... he really Ezra Klein made a mistake. I think I don't think he's that ideological, and I think he is he's a neoliberal Democrat or whatever, but he thought that this would be the right argument to make in a Kamala Harris presidency, and he is wrong. He did not time this out well, because right now the entire Democratic Party base is very against the idea of criticizing our government as it's being gutted by a billionaire, and then not addressing oligarchy as the oligarchy is responsible for the gutting. It's, I mean, if it wasn't, you know, probably selling well, I'd feel better about it. But I do think the reaction is not what they anticipated. All right, three more. Moody Times, a call for Moody Moments says, Moody times call for moody moments. Why couldn't he aspire to be James Garfield? Fallopian tube, where's the CIA when you need them? Well, I will say, and I saw someone point this out on social media, that if Bernie had made the stock market react this way as president, there's a good chance he would not live to see the next day.
That's true, but I also think, you know, one message you can take away is if you win an election, you can take pretty drastic steps.
You can do what you want?
It would be nice to take those steps in a sensible, pro-social direction than a sociopathic one, in my opinion.
And the final IM of the day. Tiny Tigers. I'm old enough to remember a certain Joe Biden telling an immigrant that he should just vote for the other guy when he confronted him about Obama's deportation record. The contempt is bipartisan. Yep. All right, guys. Appreciate you all. Thanks, Binder. Thanks, Brandon. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Russ. Check out everybody's shows. Left Reckoning, Scam Economy, Doomed, Leftist Mafia, The Discourse, and all that good stuff. We will see you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. Gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. I guess I'm where the choice is made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess I'm where I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Know how far the detour takes you. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the man's not gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining
on to this is because, say, for example, this was specifically about the Canadian tariffs. In Kentucky, the bourbon industry is $9 billion, and Kentucky creates 95% of the world's bourbon. And Canada is a major trading partner there, and you see how, like, they are banning U.S. alcohol in different stores, and there's, like, this renewed sense of Canadian nationalism that is benefiting the liberals for some, which is incredible, you know, not for some reason, it's obvious why, but you don't usually see it on that side. And so that's what we are bending the world's global trade markets because of the narcissism of a very addled, insane sociopath.
What we're doing is what on Twitch they call a rage quit.
Yeah. Frankly. Yeah. Rage quitting the world.
Our boy Steve Mnuchin on. Remember yesteryear when we had a Patriots in charge like Steve Mnuchin?
I mean, I remember talking about this guy. This was the robo signing, subprime mortgage scammer that Kamala Harris got let off as Attorney General with kind of a very a loose, lax fine. This was also the time period, but like this was considered a very corrupt looking pick because of the level of the malfeasance that he participated in during the subprime mortgage crisis, and now he's the reasonable one, apparently.
Former Treasury Secretary, here he is.
I think it's the larger tariffs that are called the reciprocal tariffs. I'm hopeful that those will be negotiated down, that those are tariffs that will bring people to the table and we'll negotiate them down. Now, for many businesses, it takes a while to move the manufacturing base. Apple's announced big investments in the U.S. That's going to take a while. I hope the president will consider giving people credits for those people who actually have made real commitments, not just announcements, but real commitments to build in the U.S., because there's a transition period here that needs to be adjusted to.
Yeah. Putting that very diplomatically, to be kind.
I remember when Steve Jobs had a meeting with Barack Obama over a decade ago, where he famously told, I think this came out in the Walter Isaacson biography, Jobs told Barack Obama, those jobs, manufacturing jobs, he means, are never coming back. And Obama's like, okay, I guess you're right. Steve Jobs, what are you going to do? And the truth is, they're not coming back this way. With this tariffs. This is not the way to do it. The way to do it, again, like I keep saying, is state involvement in the economy to direct us toward priorities that need to be done. Look at what China's done in just high-speed rail since 2008. That isn't done by just the magic of the invisible hand of the free markets. China decided we need to be good in trains. We need to be good in batteries for this next century. Consciously, as a government, they decided we have abandoned that capacity. We turned over NASA to a psychotic Afrikaner. Exactly. We just keep doing it. And this abundance thing is still looking towards these capitalists that have fucked us. That nobody on this call right now has experienced a dynamically growing capitalism that improves the lives generation over generation. Even our parents barely, to the extent that they were like graduating in the 70s, didn't really experience it much either. They failed. It's a failure, and it is not because of fucking regulations. It's because of how these people, these lords of creation, lords of capital, have decided to allot and invest. And when it comes to like something like Detroit, we let them decide, hey, those unions have too much power. We need to start shipping factories to states that are easier to union bust in. That made it a less productive industry, and now it's fucked. And so, like, look, I don't agree with Sean Fain's thing about the tariffs, but he's right. That we have let these capitalists just decide all these policies for too long, and it's put us in this horrible, horrible position. We're on the precipice of it now, and it's going to be worse. Like I say, we haven't experienced the benefits of dynamic capitalism because it hasn't existed for decades and decades. We're going to experience something worse now.
Yeah, and frankly, the Biden administration didn't do enough. We did increase domestic manufacturing jobs under Biden. That was a bright spot of his administration, in part because we lost so many during COVID under Trump, but there was still a decrease prior to that point.
And the solution we took was to encourage investors,
right,
not and to directly invest.
Because chips did. It can create like outcomes like what we're describing, but what Matt is saying is that it's fleeting, right? Because you can get another administration in, and those corporations still get the subsidies, and they may have hired some folks, but you, without centralized state policy that doesn't place our economy so much in the hands of folks that are trying to extract everything for their own profit,
yep,
you can't sustain this. You can't sustain it. There needs to be a return to a strong centralized planning for our society, for our economy, and more state intervention.
And it's weird that we have this conversation and don't look at the actual model that's working. We try to look back to some sort of theoretical capitalism that can sort it out. The reason that we're not solving climate change is because we're leaving it to investors who care, like Emma said, about profit. And if all of a sudden, say, solar panels start being really cheap and making energy cheap, guess what? There's no profit in that industry. And so investors get less concerned with it. It's not that they're not in it to save the fucking world. They're in it to put money in their pockets.
Yep. Straight up. All right, guys.
The last time Apple committed to moving manufacturing to the U.S., I believe it was Trump's first term. What they did was they manufactured their most expensive computer, the Mac Pro, which is like the $7,000 like pro like model for like, you know, movie studios and big like editing, you know, video production companies. So it's not like they moved like their major manufacturing here. They moved like a very slim, probably the slimmest part of its company of its profit to the U.S. So it's whatever they're building to move here, it's going to be another thing like that. They're not going to start manufacturing iPhones here. I guarantee
you that. It'll be Foxconn, or like another PR. We're onshoring these jobs.
Right. Well, that's a good point, because it's not because they want to bring back the union jobs of, like, say, Detroit mid-century. No. It's because they want us to be like Foxconn workers, and they are setting the conditions so that future generations don't have a fucking choice.
Go ahead, Brandon.
I'm disagreeing. Yeah, absolutely. This is an all-out assault on the middle class, and it's been a long time coming, in the sense that since FDR, since the widespread social safety net was developed in this country post-Great Depression, capitalists have been trying to erode it because it provides workers with too many options. It provides them with too much freedom. It's an anomaly of what their system wants. And the Democrat and Republican Party, at least to some degree, both agree that, workers simply have too much freedom. They have too much freedom and they have too much opportunity. And if the stock market has to take a little bit of a crunch to ensure that, like, the average American has less options, then I'm sure plenty of companies are willing to take some of that deal, at least in the short term.
Well, honestly, because at the end of the day, what Trump is saying is that this is a way to not raise your taxes. Not that the Republicans would do it, but they're also trying to gut Medicaid, the program that keeps half of the 72 million adults that are on it are well below the poverty line, and it provides them with basic health care. In their next budget, that's their outline, is that they basically want to destroy the program. And so when they have to go to the parliamentarian and say, and they may not even do this, but, like, this is more traditional Republican thought, well, how are you going to get the revenue, to justify some of these other things that you're trying to do? They're going to go with Medicaid cuts and then say that these tariffs are raising this amount of revenue because it's a compounding sales tax on the poorest Americans in this country. And if people don't remember the Foxconn thing, Trump had made this big promise in his first term of a, quote, manufacturing miracle, where in Wisconsin there were supposed to be these plans that Foxconn was going to develop a manufacturing facility there, and they ended up never doing so. And then they were going to ship or provide that area with 13,000 new jobs, and he just never did it. But they did take a bunch of investment money for it. So that's his vision of domestic manufacturing. All right, guys, call time. Calling from a 501 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from? 501. Hold on the line for a sec, because we're just going to check to make sure we're all set. All right. Let me try another one here, because I see the phones. We're in. Yeah.
I just want to make sure that.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Sorry about that, 501. If calling from a 778 area code, who's this? Where are you calling from? 778.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. All right. Matt's gonna try something here. Kowalski says you hear 501. Okay, we're figuring it out. Matt's calling back into the phones. Hold on for a second. Having some technical issues today. Okay. Didn't hear it. No. All right, I'm going to read some IMs while we do this. Guys, I'm sorry about this. Can you not, cuz we're back in the phones, but we can't hear anybody?
Yeah, I could try to do an impression of the caller. What's 501? Where are they from? Let's see.
All right, we're having issues with the computer. I'm sorry. We'll try again one more time, but callers, call back in if you get the chance. We'll see if we can fix it. In the meantime, I'm going to read some IMs.
Arkansas. I don't know if I could do that.
That might be hard. Tojin Shiboya says, oh, great. We are about to see so many Kentucky alcohol ads.
No, all that surplus is going to be going to the Pentagon to feed Hezek's habit.
Right. Bob in Spain, don't trust Emma. She lies. She'll read IMs, but this is proof that she's lying. Well, I don't know about that. Owned. Serious business. Australians lost the war to emu, and the U.S. is going to lose a trade war to penguins. Tim Pool's emotional support beanie. Binder, you give them too much credit. They'll either never learn or it will be painfully slow.
No, that's, yeah, that's what, I mean, yes, that's, yeah. I'm not giving them too much credit. That's how it is. That's how it goes. I mean, you got to assume that, again, we're not talking about like the hardcore MAGA people. I'm talking about like the people who show up every 4 years to vote in a presidential election. And, they were swayed by, Trump being some, you know, a businessman savior who's going to end whatever nonsense Biden is.
Right.
Well, there's a few of those people who will certainly turn.
I think just quickly that rule, I think learn is different from notice. I think a lot of people kind of insinuate that like MAGA fans won't notice, like they won't notice that the cost of goods is going up. What they like glean from that, what they attribute to that will be a result of like what narratives are just free floating out there. But like certainly everyone's going to notice.
Right. Right. You've already seen it, actually. They excuse it like before it was like, why isn't Biden doing anything about this price of eggs? And then the egg prices go up under Trump. And it's like, listen, you got to understand, if you love this country, you'll pay a little bit more money for eggs.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Fair Liari, these securities backed loans are pretty crazy. I work in finance and see how they will work, and it's wild. Not many people know how they work or even about them. A client can get 2-3% in interest, and you can even buy more securities with them. Okay, good to know. We're still working on the phones, guys. Hold on for just a second, all right? Edward Gregorian, everything's computer. Yes. Jester from Jersey, bit shocked to hear Fain supports the tariffs. He has been rallying against the rich. Why support what will so obviously trigger a recession and harm the working class? To be fair for him, to him, that quote was before these like really broad tariffs. And again, he does have working class solidarity, but also has to weigh and be like supportive of things that perhaps the rank and file in the auto industry are supportive of, because it is like their experience of having their jobs outsourced is not unique, but it's essentially, it's very acute.
It's fundamental to American political economy. And I mean, tariffs, again, nothing he said was wrong. It's the sort of proximity to Trump imploding the economy that's a problem. The tariffs are a tool in the toolbox. Anybody who tells you otherwise is operating from an old set of economic ideas. The problem is like it's not nearly enough, and the way this is being done, it's not going to. I don't think it's going to save the UAW. I am worried about it having the opposite effect.
Right. All right. Let's try one more call, and if we can't get this on the line, I think our phones are broken for the day. Calling from a 219 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
It's me.
This is you. Hi. How are you?
Oh, my gosh.
You got in.
Hi, you guys. I did. My phone is really hot, first up, so if we get this go, that's probably why.
Okay, cool.
Hi, everybody.
Who's
love
this?
Best. Hello. Love you all. I am Cassie from Indiana.
Cassie from Indiana. What's on your mind?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my major question today is there any salience in Democratic governors banding together and quote-unquote starving the beast by not paying federal taxes, making like executive orders, all employers don't pay Fed taxes anymore. And then I got that idea from the Romano Report, and then I've just taken it a little further, like upping state tax withholding to help with education and infrastructure. I want you all to take it further, if it's worth taking any further. And I will take it off the line. Left is best. I love you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. What a great...
Welcome, Russ.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much for the call.
You know, that's a great question. It's one I've thought about myself, and I haven't looked into it. So I don't have an answer for you, but it is an absolute great question. I don't know if any of you have any idea.
I really don't know. I would... I think that there's a possibility that the states could come together, and states' attorneys general, that would be probably the first move, is to sue the federal government as a block of blue states' attorneys general. But the withholding of taxes is something that's interesting. I don't necessarily, I don't know how that would work. So I can't wax about it without really knowing more, but I'm going to read about it.
I mean, what taxes? Like, it's between the IRS and the people in the states, it would be employers talking directly to the IRS.
Right. And then
say, don't do that.
And also then I start to think about it. The payroll tax, we do not want to set the precedent of not paying the payroll tax, which is the foundational funding mechanism and the self-funding mechanism for both Social Security and Medicare. And if we are not to pay into that, it gives Republicans another opportunity to slash the program altogether. We need to continue to pay into Social Security and not touch the payroll tax, except to lift the cap on taxable income over 117K.
Yeah, I just don't think a tax revolt will get us to where we want. We need other types of organizing. And I mean, state level sort of boycotts, like the boycott against North Carolina when they started doing the anti-trans stuff in 2017 is very interesting to me. Stuff like that. But withholding taxes, I just don't see that.
Your pillow says it would be withholding the federal income tax, not the payroll tax. They are separate items. I wasn't clear on that. But that is more of something I would entertain. Still need to see a little bit more details on
that. But again,
that
like, don't you? Maybe I'm wrong about this. Don't you work directly with the IRS when you're paying those? Like, the state can't. Does the state get involved and say, actually, that money you were sending, reporting to the IRS and sending to the IRS?
Right.
I don't get that.
Because, you file your state and your federal taxes separately. I don't know. Spocko says, I really liked Rowan Gray's yesterday talking about Doge's takeover of the federal payment system. People are talking about Musk leaving, but what will the Doge boys leave with him? Can we ask how many Americans need to die before they stop rewriting the computer systems after all the crashes and deaths? Who will repair the systems? I mean, that's the question.
How many older folks in poverty need to be completely thrown into an emergency because Elon decided he needed to change some code around?
Wasn't Lutnick the guy who was on a video not too long ago in an interview saying, I was talking to my mother, and she said, we were talking about it, and if she missed a month of Social Security, she's not going to worry. Why are you going to go crazy over that? You wait for the next month. They'll fix it.
Yeah,
these guys are so detached from reality.
Right. Well, on that point, since Howard Lutnick came up, here he is, I guess, today on CNN. This is 16, being asked, pressed again about the tariffs. And speaking about, what they're targeting, and once again, displaying just like a complete lack of practical knowledge and understanding of how this stuff really plays out.
In a few days, we're about to see prices go up at the grocery store. What do you say to those Americans?
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't
the reason
think,
it's going to happen,
it won't happen.
Watch. No one can guarantee anything, but that's very nice. Thank you. I wish I could guarantee whatever you'd like. But the fact is, wait, let's take one moment. Wait. You asked me a question. Okay. Let's go through it, okay? Our farmers are blocked from selling almost anywhere. We can't, 1.4 billion people in India, and we can't sell them corn. Europe won't let us sell beef. Australia won't let us sell beef. Why?
Hormonal chemicals.
Yeah, no, that's not why. It's because they want to
wait.
I know.
Wait.
Say, oh.
I thought you guys were Maha. I thought you were Maha. I thought you were trying to make America healthy again. Wasn't it all about the fact that we have chemicals in our food? And this is actually the truth. This is actually the truth. And when you compare it to European food, when they say like, "Oh, it's it's their portion sizes." I mean, that's part of it. Or, you feel better about their food, or they walk a lot. No, it's because they have better regulations, you dumbasses.
Yeah. No, I mean, this was part of like one of the evolving excuses Trump administration was floating for, like, you know, they're not all tariffs based on trade deficits. Sometimes it's about barriers to Americans trading our goods overseas. Like in Canada, we're talking about how like there are language requirements in Quebec. So you can't just have things in only English. They have to be in French as well. So like they've just been making up any excuse they can find that makes it seem like it's some like targeted way of getting people to be fairer and not just like a slapdash excuse for more to demand more fealty from people around the world.
They're complaining that also I saw Trump when he was saying like you know, in Denmark and Sweden and Finland they have great education systems. We want to do that by gutting the Department of Education and slashing taxes that would go towards our education system. It's like, no, it's the opposite, you dumbass. It's the same thing with our meat.
And it's also not like America accepts every good from every country, that we have no standards for anything that we import. I mean, at least that's partially excuse for why we can't have a lot of Chinese imported electric cars in America, because they don't meet American safety regulations. So, you know, it goes both ways, obviously.
Yeah.
Farmers are blocked from selling almost anywhere. We can't, 1.4 billion people in India, and we can't sell them corn. Europe won't let us sell beef. Australia won't let us sell beef. Why?
Hormonal chemicals.
Yeah, no, right? That's not why. It's because they want to just protect. I know, they want to say, oh, what, the seeds are different, right? Other people in the world are using seeds that insects. Come on, this is nonsense. This is all nonsense. What happens is they block our markets. When we open those markets, our volumes grow. Our farmers will thrive, and the price of groceries will come down. Let Donald Trump run the global economy. He knows what he's doing. He's been talking about it for 35 years. You got to trust Donald Trump in the White
House. And a few days.
I'm sorry. We need that as a drop. Let Donald Trump run the global economy. The guy that's been bankrupt like just a handful of times, which is already too much.
The guy who built Trump Tower with undocumented labor.
Right. The guy who notoriously stiffs contractors. Sorry, Brandon, go ahead.
No, I guess I was just a little bit confused about his logic, but I guess I put it together. I mean, it does seem like another like ad hoc, post hoc, I mean, explanation for why this is all happening. Like, oh, it's not because, like, it's because India doesn't take our corn or something like that. So we'll see. I mean, the tariffs hurt farmers last time pretty bad, to the point where the Trump administration had to bail many of them out. But I guess we'll see if they experience any kind of boon to their business when they can't sell what they used to be able to sell abroad either.
It's just a major tell to say, let Donald Trump run the global economy. Let him be king. Let him do what he wants. That's what J.D. Vance was saying when he was in Greenland. We can't just ignore the president's desires. Could they just all suck him off so we can get over this? It's so insane to see level of just bending over in public. Sorry to be crass about it, but oh my God, I guess really that was the only prerequisite.
I mean, it seems to me like they already are. I mean,
he's the kingmaker. I mean,
they're already doing it.
He's the kingmaker in the Republican Party. I guess they just don't, you know, they're trying to like take that like very internal to their circumstances criteria and try to like make everyone else follow it. Like, because yeah, with the stroke of a pen or a word, Donald Trump can make any Republican candidate do better or worse in their election. Now he has the ability to make any industry suffer crippling tariffs if he doesn't grant them an exception. But that doesn't necessarily apply as strongly to everyone outside of those dynamics. And some people are going to be able to find like a silver lining in resisting Trump. Like the Liberal Party in Canada, for example, were not doing very well until they came out and people saw what Trump was doing to America. And they felt a swelling of like anti-American, like Canadian nationalism there. And that's going to happen in a lot of places. A lot of places are going to see how far the right America's going. They're going to see Donald Trump, find him unique, distasteful, and be willing to accept a little bit, paying a little bit more at the grocery store. And I mean, people outside of America will, if it means like stiffing the big bully America. Like, there is just, I think, a little bit of a failure to realize that America's, like, you know, international supremacy was the result of the very same structures they're destabilizing and abolishing now. And not because people just love America all the time. Some places, yeah. But, like, not some of these places, you know, a lot of political figures are going to be able to make their bones by, like, 100%. You know, being the one who, like, stood up to Donald Trump. Yeah, you paid a little bit more for Kentucky bourbon, but we, you know, we slayed the dragon of Donald Trump in France. You know, we did that. Like, that's going to be a way for people to, like, stay in office.
He's absolutely overestimating the ability of the Americans to have soft power without, like, the actual mechanisms of soft power that kept that in place. We're not just, like, the global superpower because people like Hollywood films. This is because of the structures that exist after World War II, which includes NATO, which includes these institutions like the United Nations that have very prominent Western and United States influence. But it's really about the trade routes that we have forged in response to that, and also in conjunction with being the largest military in the world. Now all we have is none of the soft power of our militarism with USAID, and, like, sometimes it's hard power, sometimes it helps in coups, but sometimes it also helps prevent kids in Africa from getting HIV and feed this starving country. They're getting rid of that, and then they're helping Israel commit genocide. And then when it comes to even our economic power that we use and leverage, and the fact that we're so dominant in that way, they're getting rid of that too. What is left for people to respond to outside of, like, maybe we'll bomb you? Like, why would other countries continue to have relationships like with us, the traditional ones in the past, when none of the benefits of that traditional relationship exist, except for the threat of, I don't know, Donald Trump retaliating against them? And these tariffs, I think domestically, he doesn't care what happens to the American people. But what I do think he wants is for some of these industries to come to him and bribe him, those news outlets did with his frivolous lawsuits. You can get a carve out if you give me something.
Yeah, it's for that bribery. And I'm sure he also imagines that a lot of the, like, more developing nations are not going to be able to take the increased, like, cost of, selling in America, even if it is on our side, because it will reduce the amount of business that they do there. So, like, he's hoping that those countries, the ones who can be bullied by this, will be forced to come to the table and provide, you know, do whatever he wants, essentially. Who knows what that's going to be for a place like Madagascar, but I'm sure he will find some way for them to stroke his ego. But places that can resist and might need to resist for domestic political issues, they might find that, you know, it's a way out to get a more stable economy that's not tethered to the United States of America, where these things just seem to happen every 4 years now. Like, there's just plenty of incentives for people to get out of that dynamic, and he's not providing any sort of, like, actual benefit to them other than, like, making things go back to the status quo, which apparently just facilitated this. So, like, he doesn't understand just how much America relies on these structures existing to keep goods cheap and people happy here. You know, he may not care about that because he's not running for re-election again, but the rest of the Republicans are going to have to go to those town halls and struggle to explain why not only are goods more expensive, but their Social Security checks are late, why their Medicare has been canceled. All of these things that, like, are going to disproportionately affect poor people are going to be disproportionately also felt by, like, Republicans in certain places.
Absolutely. Let's do 13, and then we'll, I'm just seeing the time, I'm sorry. Then we'll maybe take a call and read some IMs and get out of here. I feel like some of these longer ones we just don't have time for, right? Okay, so here is Senator Jim Banks of Indiana. He is talking to somebody who worked at HHS. They were fired. There are quotas that Donald Trump is giving to the people that head the agencies in his administration, and HHS is obviously headed by RFK Jr., the anti-vax conspiracy theorist. And they basically said that we want 10,000 firings at Health and Human Services. They're already going after folks that have been researching in vitro fertilization that broke yesterday at the CDC. They have been firing researchers into things like Alzheimer's and cancer and Parkinson's disease, stuff that is really, really important to saving lives and improving people's quality of life, and also maintains the United States as like a place where, hey, we can't give healthcare to our citizens, but if you're a researcher, we have some top academic institutions where you can learn and like be at the cutting edge of certain technologies. I mean, this is just saying, hey, China, go ahead. Lap us here. But it's also just having a really horrific effect for the workers that have been in these agencies. And this is how Senator Jim Banks reacted to an HHS employee said, talking about what they experienced.
Some of those already fired HHS employees gathered today in the Senate basement out in D.C. where they spotted Senator Jim Banks. One man asking Banks about his firing. Take a listen.
Hi, I was a worker at HHS. I was fired illegally on February 14th. There are many people who are not getting social service programs, especially people with disabilities. Are you going to do anything to stop what's happening?
You probably deserved it.
I deserved it?
You probably deserved it.
I deserved it.
Dude, that's
wow.
Sad.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Why did I deserve it?
Because you seem like a clown.
Well, to note, the courts have not made a ruling on the employee firing, so as of now, they're not illegal. But that question and video was taken by former HHS employee Max Schroeder, who says he was actually the senator's answer was a little off-putting. We're going to be speaking with him tonight on News 8 at 10 and 11. We also got a response to the video from Senator Banks saying, quote, I went to Washington to decrease the size and scope of the federal government. No one is entitled to a taxpayer-funded job, especially in positions that waste those funds. I fully support President Trump and the Department of Government Efficiency's mission to eliminate waste.
Again, more at 10 tonight.
No one is.
Yeah, I would say it's a little off-putting when a representative calls you a clown for asking why you lost your job. A senator, yes. Yeah, I mean, come
even,
on.
Even those senators who think of themselves as really, you know, above the traditional kind of politics that the House members have to deal with, you know, the plebeians asking them things. Even he can't hide like his contempt for his constituents. It's crazy.
He's a guy who worked in real estate prior to becoming a senator. And he gets all of his ideas from the American Legislative Exchange Council. So he doesn't really do any work. So, you know, maybe he should be fired.
Is he entitled to a government salary? It's incredible to see how brazen they are about their disdain for public service. Like their big rub is that these folks are not in private industry, so they can. If there's more and more firings, it makes it more likely that that unemployment is going to go up again, and then they have more leverage against their existing workforce in the private industry.
And sorry to grind this axe again, but the last thing we need is people like Ezra Klein and Derek Thompson to be running around and saying how the government is the problem as this is going on. It could not be worse for the moment right now. We need liberals, frankly, to be talking about what the government actually can do for people. Not how we need to slash it more, just slightly more sensitively than what Trump's doing.
Well, I mean, I think that it's the exact opposite of what he said is true, which is the government, you know, the public sector is the only thing in society that can provide guaranteed jobs. Because the illusion is that you can incentivize private employers to, you know, hire people at levels that will somehow curb unemployment naturally and provide people with like a standard of living that, you know, is sustainable. And we've just seen that's not the case. Like we can look at the unemployment numbers and we have to add another, 10-20% on top of that for people who have given up, for jobs that just underpay to the point where people are still, you know, needing government services, which is just another way for the government to subsidize places like Walmart. And even when you incentivize them to, you know, build factories at home, they do it in such a way that benefits them, which is not going to be the most people they could possibly hire and pay them the most they could possibly afford to pay them. That's what the government can do. Only the government can provide those outcomes. Only the government can provide that structure. But this has been, you know, this has been a 50, 60 year assault on the very idea of the public sector in the minds of the American people. And what that has led to is just the widespread naked contempt from our politicians, like public contempt for doing their job, for serving the people, the public good, to the people they served directly to their face. It seems like it happens, you know, we see videos like this once a day now of just like politicians just like basically grimacing at the idea of being touched by the unwashed masses. We live in an oligarchy.
Absolutely.
Sean McCarthy tweeted this out. There are many historical examples of tariffs mixed with government planning and industrial policy producing prosperity for the nation that implements them. But what happens when 40 years of government bad propaganda causes you to skip the second step? We're about to find out.
Yep. All right, guys. Final call of the day. Calling from a 603 area code. Is this where you're calling from?
Oh. Is it me?
This is you.
Hi, this is Allie from New Hampshire.
Allie from New Hampshire, you're the final caller of the day. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm calling with a little bit of a PSA. So I live in a fairly small town in New Hampshire, like I said. And I'm a really big reader, so I go to my library like once a week. And the last time I went there, my little lovely librarian gave me a note in my book that was warning us of funding cuts. And one thing about for like my town, because it's fairly small, I love my library, I love my librarians, but they don't really have anything published after like 2005. So I utilize interlibrary loan pretty heavily. I don't know if every place has it, but it's basically just like all the libraries within the state will trade books with each other. So like if my library doesn't have something, I can get it from a library in a different town for no cost. That's pretty much how I get all my books there. That service, as well as Libby, which is an app for, I believe, audiobooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, is also being cut, potentially. Oh. And in, yeah, which really, really sucks. I was really pissed off when my librarian told me that, and she was like so sad about it.
Also, public, hallmark of public space and education, you know, you just see, yeah, even here in New York City, like there are still some phenomenal public libraries, but a lot of public space privatized. Throughout the country, this is what they're trying to do. I mean, this needs to real estate for private interests. Duh. Why do people need libraries?
Yeah, no. Who needs to read? That's not important or anything.
Not apparently, they don't think so. Reading comprehension is so far down since freaking COVID. Honestly,
yeah, I mean, like it's just so obvious in my opinion. Just like that, Republicans need people ignorant and stupid and educated to keep their voter base. I mean, like between getting library services, which like, you know, in addition to just books, like, you know, free Wi-Fi, free like computers, printing, stuff like just services that people need and like just a safe space for people to exist that doesn't cost money. But I also just wanted to point out that last week in New Hampshire, there was also a resolution or an amendment to the that was presented to the finance committee to basically gut all funding for the New Hampshire State Library, all of them. It failed, thankfully. But I just kind of wanted to share the resource, which is action.everylibrary.org. They were the ones who informed me of this, and they also have really good templates for like reaching out to your representatives to push back against this funding for library cutting. Even though that resolution failed, they're now trying to criminalize librarians as well as teachers for providing books to minors. Basically, like, you know, more of the transphobic shit that they're always going on about is kind of what they're pushing for now. But I just wanted to share that information and let everyone know to support their libraries, get a library card if you don't have one, donate books if you can, donate your time.
Yep.
It's important.
Great message. Thanks so much. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Thanks. Left is best.
Left is best. All right, guys. Going to wrap up here, read some IMs, get out of here. Toshin Shibuya says, a great show, guys. Thank you. Emma's distant cousin, if you want to boost Sam's Jubilee, put on a certain tube sites. Bearded Zaddy gets on... All right. I'm not reading. Gets on 20 college-age adults at once. Ha ha ha. DSA aren't in Atlanta. We are in techno-feudalism. Yep, I'm, you know, I mean, that's part of the Curtis Yarvin vision. Clumsy Poet, Emma's New Jersey's coming out. I'm not sure. What did I... Did my accent come out at one point? Sometimes it does. Chunch. says, I work for wine and spirits distributor and everyone is quietly panicking over the tariffs. Tequila is the fastest growing in spirit and sales, and we have deliberately started a fight with the only country that can legally produce it. Yeah. Although also one of my best friends works in wine sales, and people just are drinking less. People are drinking less. It's that's probably a good thing, but not necessarily great for the industry. So hang in there. I'm sorry about that. Apparently the only stuff that's keeping this kind of thing afloat are like these hard seltzers, honestly, but wine sales, which is my, my weakness. I love a good glass of wine. Those are down.
I never drink. And all of our alcohol in the studio here is collecting dust, basically.
We never
drink a lot more back in the day.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, Sam likes likes whiskey, right? You like whiskey, but when you do drink, I only drink basically wine, or I'll have a tequila or gin mixed drink. That's the only stuff I drink at this point. But yeah, I'm doing my wedding diet, so I can't even have my weekly wine night. I allot one night for my for having an alcoholic beverage or two, and I'm trying to even cut that down. So, okay. Dave from Jamaica, seeing stuff like this makes me think about Luigi's Mansion.
Great Wii game. I wasn't very impressed with the Wii, but that was a fun game.
Oh, I thought this was a Luigi Mangione and I didn't know.
It was. I was drawing people's attention away from that.
Gotcha.
Allusion to the killer.
Oh. Sorry. Oh, but by the way, how does Trump think, this looks, the death penalty that they're seeking for Luigi? I guess he doesn't care. He doesn't seem to care.
Oh, he doesn't care at all. I think the people he surrounds himself with probably absolutely agree with it and hate Luigi and think Luigi is the biggest threat in the world. It was like, 9/11 for rich, executives and wealthy people. Their worst nightmare, someone just randomly, who they've never interacted before, coming up behind them and doing what Luigi did or allegedly did.
Assassination coordinates.
But it affected Musk, obviously. You can imagine how it feels for all these other guys. They probably support it 100%. So Trump probably thinks the rest of the world is against him too, because he's heard it from his own people.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, it's no accident that it's happening at this time, that shooting, that assassination by someone who knows who it was. I can't say. Certainly, I don't believe anyone in custody resembles who I saw in that video, but that's just me. Like, there's no accident that's happening around the same time that, the oligarchy that controls America, the special interest money that has flooded our politics and has, become so standard in basically every race, has become a lot more public. It's become a lot more obvious, and it has had a easy to appreciate impact on the material realities of basically every aspect of all but the richest Americans' lives. And they're trying to disincentivize this from happening all over the place, because it's not just leftists. It's not like organized leftists that they have to be afraid of doing stuff like this. It's the average American becoming so desperate and so upset and so radicalized by their material conditions, and the face of those material conditions being people like Elon Musk gleefully smiling, wearing like tech support shirts under a blazer, as they immiserate you further. Like, it's those people they have to work. The people at the town halls that they're pretending are George Soros voters. Like, it's a very dangerous time to be uber wealthy in America. But it's always been a very dangerous time to be uber poor in America. So I guess that's just the way things are now.
Yeah. Also, for Trump specifically, he's been thinking about this, the whole assassination thing, a lot more lately. I mean, obviously there was an attempt on him, but also all of a sudden over the past few weeks, he's bringing up how much he misses his good friend Shinzo Abe. I mean, it just randomly bringing it up. Have you seen these clips of
no.
him?
No.
Yes, he
sympathizes with McKinley too. This is why, I mean, McKinley was assassinated. That's part of his bugaboo he has. Yeah.
He's just been bringing it up out of the blue. He brought up Japan the other day because of the tariffs, I think, and he was like, "Oh, my good friend Shinzo Abe, how I miss him so."
He's so like melancholic, but you know, can't empathize with anybody when they're next to him in real time. So weird.
I have some fun if we want to do one of our favorite things to do, which is to watch Tesla fail.
Yes.
A Cybertruck fail. This is a guy, Jay Presto, looks like, from Rhode Island. He's a Tesla fan, but he's a little bit dismayed about the self-driving parking issue here, and you can just see why.
Oh!
Crunch right into the Corolla. He writes, Cybertruck FSD crashes into coworker's car. Not a good look. I was showing a friend how awesome FSD was, full self-driving. We drove up the street and back, and this is how it pulled into a parking spot.
Oh, my God.
I've logged thousands and thousands of FSD miles. This has never happened.
This is how these are all being like vandalized. This is like the vandalism they're trying to pretend is happening.
After watching this video, Pam Bondi charged the coworker with terrorism.
3,000 that Corolla. Is that Corolla Hamas? But 3,000 damage to the Corolla. How can we be close to unsupervised? The answer is we are not. That's a lie for marketing to sell giant $100,000 rigs of metal to people like you, Jay.
Yeah. He also probably thinks they're going to be on Mars anytime soon.
Also, if you're sitting in your car and it's about to do this, you can't just afterwards be like, oh, I can't believe my car just did this. You should have done something before it happened. Like, you can clearly see it wasn't making the turn. Like, these guys who drive these Teslas really think that, like, because it's a self-driving or whatever type vehicle it is, they have no, like, responsibility and are hands off.
Yeah. It's, it tracks, though, if you're still into Tesla. All right, five more.
Legalize comedy.
Legalize it. Legalize killing people with my cars on the road, again, testing them out.
I know I go back to this every 20 seconds, but we have the abundance guys going around there saying government regulation is too lax, and we have supposedly self-driving technology crashing giant rigs of metal into other people's cars. That shouldn't be legal.
It is incredible that... Ezra Klein made a mistake, I think. I don't think he's that ideological, and I think he's a neoliberal Democrat or whatever, but he thought that this would be the right argument to make in a Kamala Harris presidency, and he is wrong. He did not time this out well, because right now the entire Democratic Party base is very against the idea of criticizing our government as it's being gutted by a billionaire, and then not addressing oligarchy as the oligarchy is responsible for the gutting. It's, I mean, if it wasn't, you know, probably selling well, I'd feel better about it. But I do think the reaction is not what they anticipated. All right, three more. Moody Times, a call for Moody Moments says, Moody Times call for Moody Moments. Why couldn't he aspire to be James Garfield? Fallopian tube, where's the CIA when you need them? Well, I will say, and I saw someone point this out on social media, that if Bernie had made the stock market react this way as president, there's a good chance he would not live to see the next day.
It's true, but I also think, you know, one message you can take away is if you win an election, you can take pretty drastic steps.
You can do what you want.
It would be nice to take those steps in a sensible pro-social direction than a sociopathic one, in my opinion.
And the final I am of the day. Tiny Taggers. I'm old enough to remember a certain Joe Biden telling an immigrant that he should just vote for the other guy when he confronted him about Obama's deportation record. The contempt is bipartisan. Yep. All right, guys. Appreciate you all. Thanks, Binder. Thanks, Brandon. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Russ. Check out everybody's shows. Left Reckoning, Scam Economy, Doomed, Leftist Mafia, The Discourse, and all that good stuff. We will see you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb, finding out. still kicking in my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somewhere I lost my drive. Shifted in and out of